Good morning, everybody. Welcome to I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood, as always, here with my co-host and partner in crime, Steve Fatula with McCoy Fatula. Hope everybody's doing well this morning.
Morning, everyone.
Today, we were just kind of kicking things back and forth, and we know that in the family law realm and people going through divorce and separation, custody and co-parenting during divorce and even after can be a very big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, the divorce may be over, but you're going to have kids together for a very long time. So if we can shed some light on that, educate and maybe help with the emotional piece and how to move forward co-parenting successfully, we're happy to do so.
Yeah. And I think that some of the things that we see on a regular basis fall to people not understanding what they're doing or the significance of what they're doing or the significance of the fight that they're having and or the lack thereof, right?
Or caring.
Caring. The obvious thing I think that we start off with is just trying to figure out or explain to people what custody is and frankly, what custody is not. We've talked about this a little bit on other episodes, but I think that it's always worth repeating or 100%. At least saying it 1,000 times over, right? So with what custody is, I think the easiest thing is to understand that custody falls in kind of one of two buckets. You either have physical custody, which is kind of easily explained as where the kid lives. And then you have legal custody, which is easily kind of explained as making legal decisions, right?
Doctors, health, education, welfare.
Correct. All the big ones there. And I think that if you think of it that way, it at least helps you understand. If you want to know the very specifics, the suggestion would be go ahead and read the code. But for purposes of illustration and trying to figure out what the heck we're talking about, those are the big ones. What custody is not is, I think, equally important. So it's not parenting time. It's not a timeshare. It's not that percentage of whatever's happening. It's not support. And in theory, the one custody is not related to any of these other things.
People get really hung up on the percentage.
Correct.
And they get really hung up on the support. If you're not paying me, I'm not going to let you see the kids.
Correct. And those things are obviously problematic. And then you have people go to court and kind of just interchange all of these terms, and that's just not correct. And it's important that I think if you're going to court that you are the most articulate one at the table, because if the court thinks you have a clue what you're talking about, then they're going to look to you and ask what and why anytime there's a question they need answered. And then that helps because you kind of get to frame the conversation for the judge, and the other side's stuck with almost an offensive why not, as opposed to, well, you know, what do you think too?
Right. So being articulate and reasonable.
Articulate, reasonable, always.
Gets you far.
Always, yeah. And then I think that in the custody world, just understanding, again, with legal custody, most parents, couples, whatever we want to say, should have joint custody, right? Because you both made this kid. So to some degree, you should both be involved in decisions that are material in this child's life. And I think the court has that exact same approach. And when people are asking to deviate from that, which there's times, you really do need to have proof and evidence as to why.
And a very good reason.
Yeah, you need a great reason.
Yeah.
Because it's taking away what the concept is of parents should raise their kids to only one parent should effectively make decisions. And then that's a big deal. And so why is the issue? And there's good reasons and there's reasons that do not.
That are just emotional from the other parent. And the court, you said the court wants both parents to be involved. And there's a term that's always used, the best interest of the child.
Correct.
And the best interest is to have both parents have a stable, continuous, loving, frequent relationship with their children.
Yeah, I think distilled down, that's the simplest answer. And in most cases, that's what's best.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody, guys, this is not an all, right?
Nothing. No, there's always all exceptions.
But this is the majority of things. So in situations where you have things like, you know, medical procedures, most parents should be on the same page. And when they live in the house, they tend to be on the same page. And when they don't live in the house, that's where we're dealing with now. And that's the kind of stuff where the courts really want to know, okay, one, why not? Why are we fighting? And two, what, you know, for medical, what does the primary say?
Right.
Because the court's not there to make medical decisions, right? They're not going to take on liability.
Can you imagine?
And really, you don't want that.
No.
Right? You don't want the courts that involved in your life, your child's life. I mean, the implications were just giant.
You'd like to have some control over the decision-making process.
Yeah, and if you can't agree, well, then the kid can't suffer. And that's when the courts are going to really appoint a person to make the decision as opposed to generally speaking, what the decision will be. I've seen courts more than not assign a person to make the hard decision as opposed to them making the decision on do they get a surgery or do they do this or do they go to that school. Or,
and would this be an attorney for the child that the court?
Court could appoint an attorney for the child to hear maybe what the child has to say. But usually that's not the case because people really can't afford that stuff. Some counties are different, but the ones that we frequent, it tends to be they'll pick a person, a parent, and that parent will be either granted sole legal custody, for that limited purpose, or sole legal custody, or just, you know, make the decision, leave us alone, and they don't actually change custody. They just give a little bit of authority there. And that, I think, is helpful in a lot of cases because most people want it for a reason. And if you go in kind of with the scalpel as opposed to a cleaver, you tend to get better results from the court if they think it's more practical what you're asking for. So, again, with medical stuff, you can't both have a surgery and not have a surgery, right? That's the easiest understanding of why it has to work.
You can't get a vaccine and then not get a vaccine. That's been a big one with COVID.
Yeah, the vaccine was a big one. And the courts, it's whether we want to accept it or not, COVID was very political and the courts are very much trying not to get involved in the politics of all of it. And they're trying to just make decisions for what's best for the child. So what they're going to do is go, what does the doctor say? And then there's multiple competing doctors. Then we're having a trial over what the doctors all have to say. And then we're figuring out which doctor is better at speaking and
which is the most articulate and reasonable.
Yep. And then how much money you want to spend on whatever this decision is. And then these decisions will last for, you know, in theory forever. And that's always something people have to understand is that this stuff doesn't go away. And you may be spending $10,000 or $20,000 on a decision that truly is not worth $10,000 or $20,000 at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you have to decide why you're fighting that. Is it because you're so angry at the other parent? Because things were fine, like you said, going back to when you lived together, you parented a certain way. You knew how the other one parented. Mm-hmm. You may or may not have had issues with it in the home. But as soon as the divorce happens, all of a sudden,
yeah, now
the other person's not fit to have the children on their own. You know, what would you tell somebody coming in fresh, newly separated or whatever, where custody is a very big issue, but really, if you dig down deep, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. So I think that the first thing that we ask is what is normal? What's been going on? Because the courts are always looking to like, what's the last 6 months look like? Easy conversation starter. And it's like, well, he's an awful person or she's an awful person. Okay, great. But what are you guys doing? Because they're so bad. What are you doing? Well, we're doing every other weekend for that parent and I have all the rest of the time. All right, then we probably want to maintain that. That seems important if that's been going on for a while. Yeah. Or it's, well, it's they're an awful parent, but we do a 2-2-3 and we are constantly rotating. It's like, so they're the worst parent in the world. And their drinking's out of control and they're always high and
driving with the kids under the influence.
Right. And flying rocket ships into the moon. And the answer is, but it's convenient for me. And the answer is then we're not doing this. Like at some point it's either it's a real issue.
Right.
Or it's not. And if you kind of get flagged as the one that creates false issues, that also can follow you. So it's not our goal to just blindly run in the court and we don't take that approach with it. We need to kind of understand.
And but, just one point to that. If that parent is that bad, flying rocket ships to the moon, always high, always drunk, and you are choosing to put your children in children in their care,
issue.
Then you're the one who's going to get in trouble.
Sometimes that's the hardest conversation. So, because there are situations where maybe for us sitting neutral in this, it's not a hard call. Call the police. It's bad. Do this, do that. But for people in it, well, they're scared or, you know, they've been abused themselves. So this is less abuse. So it's whatever. They've factored out some type of reasonable argument in their own brain. But you have to explain to them, look, if you know the other parent's doing something wrong,
that could harm the kids
and that could harm your child and you choose not to act, you could be found in neglect. And if CPS gets involved, which they tend to get involved, you both lose your kid.
Right. And I've seen that happen.
Oh, I've seen that happen. I've seen that as the reason that people go, oh, shit, I have to do something. And you go, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like it kind of goes, why is that what's making you, quote unquote, do something? But in the same breath, you're like, look, I'm not here to scare you. But the reality is I have seen people lose kids that are trying to work with the other side, which is unfortunate if
or
it's
trying
a real,
not to lose their job because of daycare.
Right, where they don't want to lose their job. Yep. Yeah. Because that's one the courts don't really care about, to be honest. Right. The kid needs to be protected. I've seen people where they, quote unquote, just love the spouse so bad. Usually they're victims of abuse for years. We've seen it a lot with you know, prostitution arrangements and things where the kids are stuck in the middle of these situations and the courts don't care about your feelings.
No.
This kid has to be put first. We've seen it where new spouses or new significant others have a history of criminal record and they don't want to lose them. Again, it doesn't matter. The kids have to come first.
Yeah, that's one of the toughest for me.
Yeah.
You separate, divorce as an adult, you can be, I don't care. You can Correct. Be with anybody you want. The moment you have children.
Yeah, the world changes.
You lose the right to do whatever you want. It's whatever's best for your kid. And there have been so many cases in my 30 plus years. I think I figured it out now. I've been saying 30, but two more years have passed, which is crazy. but where somebody marries somebody in prison that they were pen pals with and then brings them in and can't understand why the ex-spouse or former spouse is upset that these children are with this former felon.
Yeah.
Which maybe they've turned their lives around and maybe they're the greatest person in the world. Mm-hmm. But if the ex did it and you were sitting on the other, I mean, can we?
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling how people will pick a not so great person over their children or subject on the, but I love them. I can't stand that.
It happens.
But I love them.
We've explained to people, especially once CPS gets involved, that they need to end that relationship. And if they don't, they lose their kids. And we've had people that says, well, I can't. And the answer is.
Then this is the consequence.
Then you're going to lose your kids. And they do.
And so they lose their kids. And maybe people need to know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, where do they place the kids? If there's no family,
yeah,
what happens?
They, in theory, they could get it all the way to foster care and just be I don't want to say auctioned off, but effectively provided somewhere else that you're done. Now, those tend to be extreme situations, but they're not unheard of.
No. And once CPS gets involved and if your children have been removed from your care, it is not an easy process.
It's not fast and it's not easy.
Or if at all.
Or if again, at all, extreme they already cases. Hate you. They hate you. You're the trash that always has to now prove it, even though you didn't do anything wrong in direct issues. Indirect, you did because of the neglect issue, but directly you didn't.
And in some cases, the tentacles of CPS or court involvement will last the entirety of the minority of the children.
Yeah.
You're lucky to get them back.
We have seen cases where not only does it last through their until they hit 18, but because they have special needs, less forever. And people just don't understand the impact of bad behavior. And even calling CBS, because what a lot of parents do is use DVs, domestic violence issues, to strategize in a case, which is shit. People shouldn't do that, and there should be more consequences.
Yeah, and there's financial reasons, there's custody reasons, there's all kinds of reasons that they're being used the wrong way get a hand up in a case.
A whole spiel we'll go into in another episode from the custody world.
Next week's topic.
Right, maybe. The next one is CPS. People use CPS, and they try to use mandatory reporters to basically get things right. Like they can use them to put in some temporary blockades, remove a parent, interview a parent, ruin their lives. And then it tends to be then the other parent does it. And then they both do it. And then once that game begins, you know, we've seen cases where CPS has been called 16 times. Well, guess what, everybody? You are the worst of the worst if CPS has been called 16 times. Even if no one's ever been found, the disdain the court is going to have for you and your family will last well past 18 years.
Oh, 100%.
And it's going to come up all the time. And you absolutely have a right to use CPS to do a welfare check or something on your kids if something's wrong, because the court's going to say the same thing. Did you call CPS? Because we've overused that as the half to step one.
Yeah, but there is a reason CPS exists. There is a need.
There is a need.
But if, like everything else, there is abuse of the process.
Oh, yeah. And that's the part where the court can remove the kids from you if you abuse the process.
Yeah. And it's one thing for the parent to make false claims to CPS to get a hand up. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother level of ick when they teach the children to do so.
And kids, what we have found through all this, kids are incredibly smart and incredibly absorbent and observant. They see all, they absorb everything happening around them, and they just want to make their parents happy. like when it all distills down, like the parent that beats the kid still loves them. They don't understand. So no. Like when people are looking at that, yeah, it sucks. It's just the reality of where things are at. So if they have a parent that is manipulating them, they don't understand they're being manipulated.
No, it's their mom or their dad. They just want them to be proud. They want to be loved.
And that's it. They just want them to say, hey, you did a good job or this or that, or they don't want to see their parent cry. Yeah. And the craziest cases we have involve the parents that don't care. And they are happy to manipulate these kids and use them as little puppets to get full custody and stuff. And man, at some point, these kids figure it out. Typically,
full custody when somebody doesn't care is financially based.
Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot. And that's so we shift from this custody discussion into like that parenting thing, right? That's where all the money ties in. So if you have full custody, you tend to have a majority, if not all, of the visits or the time, and then the support is inevitable.
Right.
And people tend to kind of walk in and go bam, 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 and then one parent is kind of financially destitute and the other one is with everything, and it's kind of shitty arrangement, to be honest.
Right.
Like I know some parents want that or push for that, but you also don't ever have breaks and things. Like the people don't really think of the big picture of all life. They just sometimes want to win, and winning is
and some not people real. Want that in the moment because there's a lot of emotions associated with correct. The divorce. And most of the time, and we're talking in extremes, people's emotions calm down, they mm-hmm. move on. I've seen it, you know, highly contentious cases mm-hmm. over time with some healing, reasonable people come back, you know, they're able to co-parent maybe sure. in a year.
Maybe more, but yeah,
fair. Sometimes things are just heated in the moment, but these decisions, emotions are temporary, I would say, and decisions can be permanent.
Yeah.
They just can't see straight. Do you find that, because I know we've talked about extremes and we've talked about CPS being involved, their kids used as pawns or DVs as strategy. What about people who their spouse just came home? We have a case right now that says they had just had a child. There was some postpartum depression. And one day husband comes home and says, not only do I want a divorce, I've been seeing my ex. And he's been taking their children around the ex.
Yeah, that's messed
up. And she just kind of lost her mind for a moment. Mm-hmm. He took that, ran straight to court, filed a DV and all these things, and she's been penalized for that moment for years. Now, part of that is because she's been acting as her own counsel and is intimidated by him, so kind of gives in. But now, a year later, the emotions are less. She's not as reactive. She's accepted. She wants to do different things. What in those, how do you calm or how do you make sense out of a very emotional time?
Yeah. So the first part is, one, it makes sense what you do, comma, there is an effect for every decision, right? Or whatever.
No matter what we do.
No matter what we do. And there's a cause and effect in everything. And the reality is, while you may have lost your cool for a second, that does suck. Because the impact of that thing could be years of problems.
But it's awful because you can certainly understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's reality. You're not going to be, oh, okay, that's fine. Appreciate you telling me. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the court system creates litigious behavior, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because
explain that.
Sure. Everyone's looking to win. Once you get into, if you think of court like a game and think of it almost like an arena, when you're becoming a team or you're in this game and you have to constantly think about going to court, your mind changes to look for any way to win. So then people start kind of from a defensive side, you're guarded. You're not going to share things, which sucks because then the kids' information is not getting shared.
Right.
And you're looking for any way to interpret anything as a bad thing to run the court over. Kid says, dad yelled at him. Well, if you were living together, you'd be like, hey, dad, what happened today? What did he do? Because you know your kid. You know sometimes they do bad things.
You put the cat in the dryer and he got upset.
Right? Yeah. Something like that. He took the phone that I just taken from him and was sneaking it in his room. You don't have these conversations anymore. What people do is they run the court and go, my child said dad beat him and all these things. And the courts are not dumb, and the courts will ask that question first of, did you ask dad what happened? Did you parent? Did you try in any way to solve what it was or know what it was or learn anything before you ran to court?
Because kids aren't always truthful. Because
kids lie all the damn time. And once the kids have figured out, they end up with more power than the parents.
Oh, that's a bad move.
And that happens all the time.
Because they're playing one against the other.
Yeah, and it's not usually even like the way I'm saying, it's not malicious. They just go,
no.
Well, dad wants to hear that mom's a bitch. So if I say those things, I'll get ice cream. Mm-hmm. Right. And it may be the unwritten rule, or that's become how they bond. And then if mom hears, I don't know, that dad's new girlfriend's mean, then she'll be happy. Like they do like these things, but they're just trying to make everybody happy. It's not with malicious
intent.
No.
Yeah.
No. And those ones, like when you see those cases drive me nuts. Financially, they're great, right? Because they're paying you money to go to court for them.
For everything.
Yeah. And it sounds cool on the radio, but in the same time, everything's dumb. And like you have to go, judge, we're here because we can't act like adults and we can't decide which doctor we're going to pick today. Is it the doctor that the kid has had for 10 years or this new doctor that's 30 seconds closer? Well, why can't you guys resolve it? Because two people have to agree, and now they can't agree. Someone got a new girlfriend. Someone got a new boyfriend. I was
just
going
to say, you sprinkle in a third party to that.
Oh, it just becomes just the mess of all messes.
And you can almost see in a case when things are, you know, maybe a little volatile, but manageable.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden things blow up, and all you have to do is ask, who's dating?
Yep. Oh, yeah. You can read the room before any words come out.
Yeah.
Because it's just behaviors that go, you just take that deep breath and you're just like, God damn it, what happened now? And it's like, well, this major thing happened. And you're like, that major thing happened. Do you have proof of these major things? Like, what's going on? And most people don't have proof because most of the time what you're doing is relying off what your child said. And unfortunately, if you're going to court with a he said, she said scenario, from a legal standpoint, it's hearsay, guys. So you can't use what the kid says anyway. Courts let most of this in. So what I'm saying almost doesn't matter. But they're going to say, uh-uh. And then you're going to have a scenario where you've just put your kid in the middle of this fight. And that's not going to go well. It doesn't matter how. It's not going to go well. They're not going to say what you want them to say because they're not going to say the thing that they told you in confidence to a court or stranger the other parent or anything is there. Else. Right. And it's just.
And if you take something a child or anybody says mm-hmm. and you don't fact check or you don't go to the source. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about communication. Not too long ago, but it's usually not that thing. Or by the time it gets to where it needs to go, it is completely misshaped.
Yeah. I mean, we had a case that when we had a mom and she came in saying that the kid said dad threw something at him and grabbed him and held him over like effectively a pier on a lake kind of a scenario, right? Which is huge, right?
These are terrifying scenes. If this is real, it just, my heart just right? stopped.
And the answer is, okay, and you have to empathize and be like, that sucks. The scenario is bad, but what do you have for proof? Well, no one has proof, right? Because you weren't there. So you have your child telling you, and your child, not saying your child's a liar, I don't want you to think that way, but you kind of have to if you're going to go to court. And it's like, okay, so what we can do is tell the court that we need to have, I think we did sole custody for purposes of 1 to 2 weeks to get the child interviewed outside of dad's care. And I told the client that if the child doesn't repeat everything you told me, this is over. Because at some point, that's all you have. You have a kid who's saying, dad threw something at me and then effectively threatened physical harm.
How old was the child?
Somewhere between 8 and 12. Somewhere in the younger age, but not a baby. So, like, they understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
They still may have tendency to overreact or embellish a little bit. Dad had an anger issue historically, but none of that matters. And then dad's defense to it, because obviously went to court, was that he did throw a soda can, but not at the child, at the trash can. And the child was between him and the trash can. And it's one of those where it's like, is it true? No. Was it done probably menacingly? Yeah, there's a little threat there, it seems.
Not a great parenting choice, but not a criminal activity. But not
trying to peg a kid with a rock as they're running away.
Or hold them over a cliff.
Well, the cliff part came to the kid was fishing and was playing around and dad grabbed him so he didn't fall. per dad. So then you have two plausible scenarios and mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
Right. So then everything is on this child's shoulders to tell again what he said is the truth. And they went to mediation and he didn't say any of those things. He said, oh, no, we're fine. Everything's fine. And the problem is, what do? You can't do anything. And you've put a scenario in play that's probably worse if he actually is being abused. And we had that same conversation afterwards with the client saying, look, we explained to you, and what we told the judge was, judge, I don't know what's going on. I got this story and I have to act. And you did. And it was 100% up to your kid, which is the worst shitty scenario to be in.
Right.
But your child, with no influence from dad, didn't say the same story when some third party asked him. And at that point, the answer is we're done. We have to be done. And if not, you're going to lose your kid fighting this battle that you can't prove.
And I think for people listening, it sounds really harsh.
It does.
When you are so matter of fact or that, but you have to be.
Yeah. If not,
because if you jumped on every emotion,
yeah,
you'd be in court, number one, all the time, just spending clients' money, knowing.
Correct. Losing. Intentionally going to court, knowing it isn't going to work.
Right. And you are... Well, it sounds harsh and cold. You are absolutely doing a service to these clients saying, let's dig a little deeper. I understand this is difficult. I can see why if you that happened, you would be upset.
Yeah.
It's not that we're not empathetic or compassionate, but in order to fight or advocate for your client in court, you have to have more than my child came home and said this.
Correct. There is and a proud moment. There's never been a time that a judge has looked at me and went, Mr. Fool, are you serious? Where there's not a thing when I'm coming in, they know that I'm not just randomly doing things. We've looked into it. We have proof of what we're saying, and we're here to make a decision to move on. They're not over the top swings. We're not trying to say, never let someone ever near this person again, ever. No. They're awful because they didn't tie the kid's shoes. There are reputations with attorneys. My job is to go and win when it's appropriate and when it's the right move. And if I don't think it is, I'm not doing it. And go find somebody else that you just want to spend money with and go to court. If you want to go with an actual answer, then we do things that are practical. We look for the actual results that solve the problem. We make sure our story makes sense and we try to find whatever evidence we can.
Right.
And there are times we don't have it and we don't have an option but to do something like this because that's it. If your kid's saying they're getting beat, you can't prove it. You got to at least try. As a parent, I understand that. Yeah. Parents are crying. I go, yes, I get it. We're going to move forward. But if you have no evidence and these people don't falter on the stand and they're really good at lying, you could lose your kid to the abuser because of this scenario. And that's always the toughest part of it. You kind of have to go, well, then let's get this kid into therapy as well.
Right.
And we add that to the motion. So what does therapy do? Well, it gives the kid a place to go in case he is having these things happen and he then feels comfortable to tell that therapist, not today, but in 3 to 6 months, right. Then you come back and you try it again, right? You build that into it. Or we get minors counsel where they have their own attorney. But again, they have to speak up to get anything to happen. So if they're not comfortable to do that, that doesn't work. Like sometimes the answer is you're not hitting home runs every time you go to bat.
Right.
You're setting up the next play because it's what has to happen. And if you swing for a home run every time, you will strike out.
And with the thing with a home run, it's sensational in that moment. But consistently Correct. Winning over time is a much better strategy.
And
there are attorneys, like you said, reputation, that don't give a crap. In fact, they will instigate wars between clients just to continue to earn the legal fees.
That 100% correct. Or fail to respond or not engage or all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While it sounds harsh that we dig and we question the clients, it's for their best outcome.
100. If you are lying to me here, you will lose in court.
Right.
And usually we're really good at figuring out when someone's not telling the truth.
No, there's been a lot of experience.
There's a lot of experience going, that doesn't make sense.
It usually falls apart, if not the first meeting, but by number two.
Yeah.
When you're fact checking or.
When you speak out loud to the paralegal, here's what they said. And everyone goes, as you're saying out loud, you're like, yeah, it sounds different out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a couple of these questions. Then we're going to decide what to do. And the reality is like, look, if you just want someone to do this, then there's plenty of people out there.
Oh, we could give you some referrals.
Yeah, but like,
we won't, but we can.
There are better ways to do these things. And most of the time, the opposing side actually is not disagreeing with us on the decisions we're making.
No, and that's the part of being articulate and reasonable. Like you said, it doesn't only serve the client.
Yeah.
It serves us to be the same.
Yeah, if you have an alcoholic other side, taking away the kid forever doesn't actually solve the problem. Getting that person help and getting them sober and getting them to co-parent is the better answer.
So I want you to give like a closing piece of advice. Mine is think long term.
Yeah.
If you make these decisions now, and let's say you sign this agreement now, because either you're tired or you just don't want to deal with the other person or for whatever the reason, in 3 months, in 6 months, in 12 months, are you going to look back and still be okay? I don't believe there is one winner.
Yeah.
I believe you do the best you can. And it's if it's decent for both, then you've won. But are you still going to be okay when the emotions are changed or the heat of the moment has died down, or are you going to wish you did something different? So long-term thinking is my
long-term preach. Thinking when you've vetted the situation, I think is you have to unfortunately check what your child says. And if you can do that and ask the other parent what's going on, you can at least start to figure out what is happening, and then you can go to court. That's my thought.
So back to communication, and you don't have to necessarily speak to the other parent if it is volatile. There are many things that can happen, and we will continue this conversation. Mr. Fadila has to go off to court.
See everybody.
So you guys go out, have a great day, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and thanks as always for joining us.